Welcome to the Johnny Dell Football Academy podcast on the channel that's trying to answer the whys and hows of the game by talking through and dissecting game film and diving deeper to explain why the X's zig and the O's zag. I am Adam Marino, joined by Mr. Johnny Dell, and we are reminding you, as always, the most fun way to watch is on YouTube, where we go live. There you can comment into the live show. Be sure to hit the notification bell and turn on your notifications so you can be a part of the conversation. We also stream live on Facebook and X. Also, the audio versions are always found on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, if you are live with us in the chat, it's probably because you are subscribed, you've hit the notification bell, and turned those notifications on. So, when sharing with your friends, be sure to let them know. We also love to hear from you outside of our live show. Email us at johnnydellsfootballacademy@gmail.com, and you can always check out the website jfa49.com, as it is the most fun way to support the channel. Also, the way we boost the chat and boost the algorithm is to type out hashtag JD49. Yes, welcome in. It is Monday, April 22nd, which means we are just a few more sleeps away. Remember when you're like 5 years old? How many more sleeps till Christmas? How many more sleeps until the NFL draft, Mom? All right. Yeah. Well, it's
the NFL draft is Christmas for football fans, because you get to see and get all these new toys.
Yep, new toys, and you've decided to do a mock draft. I went over some of it with you and just could not stop laughing. It's going to be fun. I think I want to start by definitely welcoming in everyone that has boosted the algorithm. 5 Minute Football, Marcos. Marcos is always on top of it, as is Technic Chick, Hugo 10, Shotgun. Hugo and Hugh, thanks so much, guys. You guys are in the chat. Start plugging in some names that, and don't just say Jerry's son and Christian's brother. Don't just say that. We're going to get into that, and that's obvious. But give us some names in the chat that you have legit done some research, and then put their name and then dash what the research showed. Hey, John Smith, because coming out of Michigan State, he faced a lot of good competition in the Big Ten and is a great offensive tackle, right? For example,
I like John Smith because he's an international player who did very well on the East Coast and, you know, really overcame some difficulties and really succeeded where he landed.
Right, exactly. So
you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you, Adam?
No.
John
Smith?
Pocahontas?
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's a bit of a reach. You must have little kids.
I do.
Yeah, I don't. Marco says, I let Johnny do the research for me. Come on, Marcos. Come on.
Hey, that's why we have a podcast. No, I did. I've done a bunch of mock drafts. I did some with PFF. So there's some things. Apparently, my mic sounds weird now. So
it sounded beautiful, but right before the show, and then now it's like picking up weird. I think right
better
in the chat. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes like you just have to turn it off and on again. So,
so weird.
It's weird how things happen. But I did some with PFF, and then I've done some. There's a place, if you want to go and test your draft metal, you can go to NFLDraftBuzz.com, and they have a really good kind of mock draft simulator. I've done a number through there this morning and before as well, coming into it. There were a website that when I came back from the Senior Bowl, I found that they had really compiled a lot of information about the prospects really well, and they've kind of been my go-to as far as looking up guys that I haven't been as familiar with. And sometimes and they'll put on there if the guy was at the Shrine Bowl, if he was at the Senior Bowl and stuff like that, so it helps you cross-reference. And there was several guys that I had necessarily forgot their names, and when I'd see on their Senior Bowl, I could pull up all my notes that I have here on different guys, and it would remind me, okay, yeah, that's who that was. And so they're a place, and I did a number of them. Now, what's interesting is I first started out with PFF, and who I ended up picking in the first round at pick number 31 in the NFL draft. And oh, I have to pause here because Technishik, please, thank you so much. Have you tried turning it off and on again? If you know, there was a show, it was kind of a cult hit, dropped on Netflix a long time ago now. It was actually available for streaming on another website before Netflix was doing streaming, but it was a British comedy called The IT Crowd, and it was phenomenal. It only ran for 6 seasons, and those 6 seasons only had 6 episodes each. So I believe maybe even 5 seasons. It was not very many, but one of the funniest shows that I've ever seen. It was a British comedy. You would recognize a couple of the guys who were in the show. They ended up did appearing in some bigger Hollywood movies for different things, but they were unknown to us. And they have a running gag throughout the whole thing. Have you tried turning it off and on again? And so, yes, I love that Technishik knows that reference there. But
my throwback, then I have to add my throwback is when Jimmy Fallon was on Saturday Night Live and he was Nick, the IT guy, and he was super condescending. And I remember the one where Jennifer Aniston was the host and they had the skit, and it's Nick, the IT guy. And they like, hi, the computer's not working. Nick comes over and he's like, move. And then there was that so hard, and like he has this creepy mustache, and like he's always wearing like a weird looking outfit, and it's like Nick the IT guy, and he's like real condescending, because that's like the main thing of like people when they fix your computer, they're like, was that so hard? Or that's always the issue of like, geez, why couldn't you figure that out? Like me talking to my mother, like, well, and all you had to do was pull this tab and then send an email, and that was all you had to do, like.
Well, so the IT crowd, they had this running, you know, the very first episode starts out, these guys are down there in the IT department, and they're stuck in the absolute basement of this big company, and nobody knows they exist, and their elevator's broken, it's classic, the really big nerd IT guys that nobody knows about, nobody really wants to know exist. And one of the guys is Irish. And so, you know, his first call, he's telling this lady calls in, my computer's not working. He goes, have you tried turning it off and on again? And, and okay, look down on the tower. Is there light? Is the light on? Oh yeah, you got to turn it on. You got to push the button, you know. And then it's a running gag throughout the whole thing. And they get a manager who knows nothing about computers. And by the end of the first episode, she's answering the phone saying, "You know, have you tried turning it off and on again?" But anyways, with PFF, my first mock draft, I ended up getting Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Let's get the show back on track here. Amarius Mims out of Georgia. And so, you know, I'd be thrilled if we got Amarius Mims out of Georgia. I think he's a solid tackle. I think he will be a good starter for a while in the league. Yeah, Georgia. But we can go ahead and show what I ended up having here. So this was, and more people know about the IT crowd.
We gotta
be careful. This is gonna go off the rails here. Yeah. But the only thing I don't like about draftbuzz.com, NFLDraftBuzz.com, is that they have ads everywhere, and there's no like ad-free option, or else I would be paying for it. But what I ended up doing was I ended up picking Amarius Mims as pick number 31 in the draft. And you know what's great about this site, you can go in and you can check the profile, and it's not clicking right now. That's a fail. This is gonna be this awesome moment, and then it ended up failing for some reason. It's not going. But I ended up trading, having multiple trades in this draft. So what's interesting about this draft simulator is that there's multiple trades that can happen. So I ended up trading back, I believe it was at the Buffalo Bills in this draft. And I traded with the Bills, the Ravens, and the Cardinals in this draft. I kept trading back at different times. So the first one was with the Bills, and I ended up trading and getting next year's second round pick. I got, it was next year's fourth round pick and next year's seventh round pick. So I got a second, a fourth, and a seventh. And also then got a seventh this year. So that was kind of a draft haul. I couldn't turn down too much for a late third round pick. Or middle third round pick, I believe is what it was. So I ended up doing that, trading that away. So that's why I didn't have a third round pick on this one. I ended up then, when I got to the third round, got a trade offer from the Cardinals, and it was to move back eight spots. And I ended up picking up a number of draft picks again. I got, obviously, this year's fourth, moving back eight spots. And then I got a fourth next year and a fifth next year. So I thought that was pretty good to just move back eight spots to pick up a fourth and fifth next year as well. And a guy that I was interested in, I felt like he was going to be there at eight spots later, and that's Dominic Pooney. Now, he was a guy that there it goes again. Now I can't say that without thinking about it. But he was a player that was at the Senior Bowl. And what I liked about him at the Senior Bowl was that he was an offensive tackle, but he was getting reps at guard. And I felt like at his size and his skill set, that the guy could be a pretty darn good guard at the next level. I felt like that he was somebody who played tackle in college, but his arm length specifically and his height lent himself better to guard at the next level and could be a very good guard. And so guard being a position that I think we have question marks right now, that's why I ended up picking that. So rolled with it from there. I believe I moved back again in the fourth round with the Ravens. Picked up another pick for next year, and I ended up picking Luke McCaffrey. People have known on this draft for a while that I've been a fan of Luke McCaffrey, so I ended up getting him. And then there at the end of the fourth round, I ended up picking at cornerback out of Auburn, Nehemiah Pritchett. Now, the other corner from Auburn was there on the board, but I went with Nehemiah Pritchett because I had made some notes about him at the Senior Bowl that I really liked his physicality at a corner, and I thought he played with good leverage. That was one thing that I saw there. So, you know, he seemed to have more physical presence there during the practices, and that's why I went with him. I think either of those guys are going to be decent corners. I'm not sure either one is going to be a cornerstone, no pun intended, but that's where it was. Then in the fourth round again, because I picked up some of these extra picks from the different trades, I ended up getting Isaiah Adams, who is somebody that he's talented but raw. So there's a lot of work to do there, but I think there is some good upside there with Isaiah Adams. Then in the fifth round, picked up Jamari Thrash. Some people might know him. I've seen him as a kind of a draft crush for a number of people. Then in the sixth round, I picked up I'm having a hard time saying this. Anyways. Laumea, a tackle out of Utah. He was again somebody that I thought was a really nasty run blocker, and that's something that the 49ers really like. So I think there is some upside there. I'm not sure he's got the physical tool set to ever be a long-term starter in the NFL. I think if he can work on some of these weaknesses, he might be kind of that swing tackle, backup tackle kind of guy. But he has what the 49ers love, and that's a nastiness in the run game. Picked up JD Bertrand out of Notre Dame. So I got you there, Adam. Up in Notre Dame country in the sixth round. What I really liked about JD Bertrand at the Senior Bowl, one, he's got speed at the linebacker position. So speed at the linebacker position is something the 49ers very much value. In one of the practices, he registered the fastest mile per hour time of any linebacker at the Senior Bowl. So I believe that was the Tuesday practice. He recorded, you know, they have the chips in the and trackers in the on the players. And so his mile per hour, he had something like 19 miles an hour, which is pretty darn good for a linebacker. And I really liked his feet. I thought he had really, really quick feet, fastest feet of any linebacker there. Now, he's a little bit undersized. He's not the biggest guy. And that's one reason why he's considered a much, much later round pick. But I think he reminds you of somebody who could be a good, really big special teams contributor and has the tools as far as feet and speed to play a will linebacker position for the 49ers. So that was why I ended up going with JD Bertrand. He's somebody I came away from the Senior Bowl really liking. And then in the sixth round, got Trajan Jeffcoat, a defensive end from Arkansas. There's some upside there as far as a 10-yard split. He's got the burst off of the line to be an edge presence, but he would be a specialist pass rusher. He's not an every down guy. Again, that's why he's so late in the draft. And last, I had to pick a running back. Had to get a running back. So I picked Jaden Sheerden out of Monmouth. He was somebody I didn't know a lot about. Really, honestly, by this point, I didn't know much about the running backs. I haven't done a lot of look into the running backs. I was literally looking for guys who had sub 4.4 40-yard dash times, because that is an absolute requirement for any running back that the 49ers draft. If you look back at who they've drafted as far as running backs, they have never picked a guy who didn't have sub 4.40 sub 4.4 40-yard dash times. So that was what ended up going into that decision. There was several other guys that were projected as higher draft picks than Sheerden, but they did not have that sub 4.4 40-yard dash time. So that's why I ended up going with him, because that made sense as far as what the 49ers would do. So that was my first mock draft that I did through them. And that was one that I was more just kind of, you know, looking into it and saying, hey, you know, there's some trades here. That sounds like a pretty darn good trade. I don't know if anybody would actually make those trades, but hey, look, I picked up like 5 draft picks for next year. So that's what I think. Frank Gore Jr. by that point was actually already picked. He was not an undrafted. He was not being an option as an undrafted free agent for 49ers faithful forever. He had that in there. Any of those names you have some questions about, Adam? You have some things you want to see?
Well, one thing I was curious was also 49ers faithful forever also had said, which, by the way, good morning to your lovely wife.
Yes,
I feel the total. Yes, I feel the total opposite on Mims. And so yeah. I wanted you maybe to just get in a little bit more about Mims. As refresh my memory, was he your first pick of our draft then?
Yeah, so he was the first pick of...
Yeah, let's get into him a little more.
Well, so Mims is there from Georgia, and he's got the size you want for a tackle. He's got the length you want for a tackle. He's been a good run blocker.
Let me ask you this about him. Would you think that he would be the guy at right tackle and then grooming him to replace big Trent Williams then? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not certain. I mean, really, honestly, he projects better as a right tackle. So okay. He wasn't always the best at ending up like
pretending a blindside, right? He's not the guy.
Yeah. But I mean, he is a good pass blocker. I'm just not sure at the next level going against it, like some of the premier passers. Like I would not love the idea of him lining up every down against like Myles Garrett, for example. But I think he...
Well, I don't like anyone going up against Myles Garrett.
Yeah. I mean, now, like his hand work, his hand placement needs work. He does need to figure out how to block in space. So like, I wouldn't love him on the left side, as far as like Trent Williams, one thing that Trent Williams is absolutely amazing at is above the pass blocking is that he can go and lead out on those edges and block corners and safety, some of the hardest guys to block out there. Amarius Mims is not necessarily going to be that guy. He's not going to be somebody that you're going to put out there in space and say, we're going to do this. And so you're not going to run a lot of those tackle toss plays that you see, that crack toss where you're going to pull a tackle and have him out there. So, you know, I don't love that as far as, you know, he's not the replacement for Trent Williams. He doesn't have that kind of movement ability and to be able to block in space. Sometimes he does get a little high and he can allow some power rushers to get under his pads. So again, like, I would not love him having to match up physically with some of the premier guys off the blind side. Now, do I think he would be the best tackle available at number 31? I think he's the best option there for the 49ers. I think there's just some guys that this is a tackle class that has some pretty darn good guys up top, and I don't think that they are going to be available. Just the way that it's shaping out and the guys that I see behind him there, I think they come with their own issues. So yes, is Mims a perfect prospect? No, he's not. He's not, you know, we're going to be able to plug him in there and there's nothing to work on. He's a day one Trent Williams replacement. You know, this is not a Joe Staley coming out. This is more like an Anthony Davis without the ability to block in space is kind of how I think of him. He doesn't have quite the movement of an Anthony Davis, but as far as a guy that you would see coming out and say, okay, right tackle, that's where he's going to thrive. Now, is he going to be the best right tackle in the league? Probably not. But I think eventually he could be a top 10 right tackle in this league. Eventually. Now, is that going to be this year? Probably not. There's going to be things, but is he going to be better than Colton McKivitz? Yes, that's what I would see. He would be an upgrade over Colton McKivitz. So that's why I'm going with Mims. And as far as, you know, some people said go D-line there were some prospects there at D-line that I just feel like the upgrade of Mims over McKivitz would have been bigger than some of the things that may be on the defensive line. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have defensive line holes. I ended up, surprisingly, with some of these drafts, didn't really address defensive line until later. And you're going to see why with this next mock draft I did, that it ended up just not... I had a guy drop to me that I didn't think was going to drop in the first round, and it happened twice in two of these. So this was the next mock draft I did. And at pick number 31, Quinyon Mitchell was available. Cornerback from Toledo. I think he's one of the better cornerbacks in this draft, period. And I was just a prospect I couldn't pass up.
Isn't that where Womack is out of?
I believe so. But so Quinyon Mitchell, another guy I saw at the Senior Bowl, and there's been a lot of buzz about him coming out. Really good combine performance. And he was there. I couldn't pass him up. Available. Quinyon Mitchell was there. I just had to go with Quinyon Mitchell. He's got everything you want from a top corner. He just really does. He's got length. He's got speed. He has production there. So, I mean, if Mitchell was there, I think that's a no-brainer for a lot of people that you're going with Mitchell. Now, this was another one that there was a number of trades on. I ended up trading with the Seahawks, traded back in the third round, dropped back a little bit, picked up a sixth this year, picked up a seventh this year, and then picked up a third next year and a seventh next year. So, and it was only dropping back, I think, like eight spots. So, you know, I totally went with that. But yeah, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, he's a top 20 prospect. That's why I was like, I don't think this would happen. I really doubt he's going to make it to the 49ers, Quinyon Mitchell. But if he's there at 31, you're taking Quinyon Mitchell. So got him. in the first round. I think that would be an absolute win for the 49ers. D'Amador Lenore would be your slot guy. Quinyon Mitchell is your starter opposite Charvarius Ward. And if they needed to move on from Charvarius Ward next year for cap reasons, Quinyon Mitchell can step in there and be that starting corner there. I think that just it just makes way too much sense. He's a player that you're not going to pass up if he's there. Yeah, I ended up picking up then in the third round, Kingsley Suamataia was a tackle prospect out of BYU. I did like at the Senior Bowl. I think he can project as a future starter. It would be an interesting camp battle there between him and Colton McKivitz, in my opinion. I think he's what my notes off him and what I really liked about him at the Senior Bowl was he was a nasty run blocker. So he just had a mean streak about him in run blocking, which is something the 49ers really love. Now, again, I'm trying to draft as I'm thinking about what the 49ers like. So it's not always about necessarily even what I love in prospects, but I'm trying to think about what the 49ers value and looking at their at the traits that they have drafted in the past. And I know some people just tend to go through mock drafts and they're thinking, okay, we're going to address these guys. These are my wish list guys. I'm trying to look at who are guys that fit what the 49ers tend to target in the draft. So they're picked up Kingsley Suamataia. Then in the fourth round, I moved back. I believe it was only four spots with somebody and made another trade. It was with the Ravens, I believe. Ended up making a trade there, picked up a seventh this year and some more picks. There was a bunch of trades in this one. But ended up picking Dominic Pooney from Kansas again. So he was there. So I went with him again. To me, if he's there in the fourth round, he's a guy that just makes sense for the 49ers. So he was there, and I picked him. This time, I picked the other corner out of Auburn. Was there in the fourth round, DJ James. So ended up picking him. Again, pretty similar players. First one, again, I had Nehemiah just a little bit ahead of him. So they're in the fourth round. Then this was, I called this draft mock draft family because it's family. Because they're in the fourth round. I started first with Brendan Rice. He was available at a USC. So I got him. I got Brendan Rice. Then there, just a few picks later, literally three picks down because it was through the trade, I picked Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, wide receiver. And then in the fifth round, I picked Frank Gore Jr. So in my mock draft world, the 49ers came home with a Rice, a McCaffrey, and a Gore. I almost felt like I just needed to like wrap it up at that point. But because I made so many trades, this was a lot. There was a lot of draft picks here. So I ended up getting Sauteo Laumea again. They're out of Utah, JD Bertrand again. Then in the sixth round, picked up Miles Murphy, defensive lineman out of North Carolina. 49ers faithful forever. He loves it. Loves all the family love there. Then I went special teams and depth for safety. Josh Proctor out of the Ohio State University. For all the Ohio State fans out there. Then going back to Adams Country. In the seventh round, picked up Sam Hartman, another guy that was at the Senior Bowl, quarterback. Yeah. Again, seventh round pick. Reminds you in some ways of a Brock Purdy. And now, I we didn't think Brock Purdy in the seventh round was going to be a home run. I don't think Sam Hartman's a home run quarterback that's there. There were some issues, footwork issues and accuracy issues that I saw there at the Senior Bowl. He's not the biggest arm guy, but I thought seventh round, pick 228, makes sense. He's a guy that I think can run the Shanahan offense. There's some upside there. And so makes sense, you know, to be a backup to Brock Purdy. So got that. And then I got the edge out of Houston in the seventh round. David Ugwegbu, got him. Defensive lineman out of Georgia in the seventh round, Zion Logue. He will probably end up being an undrafted free agent, Zion, but I didn't really see anything else there that really made me go, yes, I need to, grab this guy before he's an undrafted free agent there with the 49ers. And then last pick in the seventh round there was several trades, picked up several draft picks out of Minnesota, picked up Brevin Spanford as tight end. Not the best blocking tight end, but I think somebody who, you know, it would, he kind of reminds you of a Braden Willis a little bit. I don't, he's not as athletic as a Braden Willis. So that was my second mock draft. What do you think there, Adam, of the family draft?
Yeah, I am just in love. This is what we were talking about before the show, laughing a little bit, like, man, you talk about, like, there would be some people that would find a way to hate on it based on the needs of the team. And I just don't think Brendan Rice falls that far. But obviously it would just mean a lot to a lot of fans if we got any one of those quote unquote family type picks. I will ask you this, and I want the chat to answer as well. Out of let's for sure, Johnny, I'll let you state who all are the quote unquote family picks. Let's name them all. And then you tell me, and the chat as well, jump in here. Tell me honestly, not being a Homer Simpson, must be a Homer Simpson, the pitcher just went, dope. Not being a Homer, who realistically, just honestly, realistically, has the biggest chance to be drafted by the 49ers?
So some of the family names went Brendan Rice, obviously son of Jerry Rice, the great Jerry Rice. He was a big draw at the Senior Bowl. A lot of people were interested in, mainly, you know, because of the family name. Now, his production in college was not amazing. When you look at over, you know, his last year, now he was a transfer to USC. So he wasn't he wasn't somebody who had been there for a long time in the offense, was with the team. He had gone through the portal and was a transfer, but his senior year, he had 33 catches for 437 yards. So, I mean, that's not something that you're like, wow. But what was impressive was that when quarterbacks targeted him, they had a quarterback rating of 93. So that's what you do like. So your quarterbacks are doing well when they're targeting him. His 40 time is kind of like his dad's, in that, you know, Jerry Rice said he did not run a good 40. He ran like a 4.5, 4.55, 40 kind of thing is what has been said. The rumors coming out, and Jerry himself has said that, you know, he goes, look, you know, without the ball in my hands, just on the track, I'm like a 4.5 guy. But when somebody's chasing me, I'm a 4.2 guy. That's what Jerry Rice said. And Brendan's 40-yard dash time was 4.5. So he's not going to be this, you know, speed threat on the outside. He's not going to bring you more speed on the outside than Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is going to be a step faster there on the outside, according to the measurables. Now, here's what I do like about Brendan Rice, is that he's got a good body and frame for your typical receiver, right? You know, you're that X receiver. So he's got the body and frame that you want. So he's 6'2", got the good height. He's 208 pounds. So he's got a good size to him. And that was evident at the Senior Bowl. What was also evident was his burst out of his break. So he wasn't the smoothest into and out of the break, but once he got out of his break, he had good takeoff speed to separate from corners. That's what I liked about Brendan Rice. And then obviously coming from and that's exactly what 49ers Faithful Forever says, slant king like his dad. Yeah, that's where you saw that shine, is that he wasn't the fastest into that slant, out of the slant, but the moment he got squared away and took off, he separated on those slants. He was burning guys the whole time in one-on-ones all week at the Senior Bowl with on slant routes. Probably the best separation on slants of any receiver there at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, that's the upside. The others, the downsides are that didn't always have the best hands, isn't going to be a top end physical talent to, you know, be. He's not what his dad was. He's not. I think we fall in love with the name. He's a kid that has some really good upside, but he just does not have at least what it's looking like to me, to be a top receiver in this league. And so he's going to be a mid-round pick. I'll circle back around to this. So then you have Frank Gore Jr., obviously son of Frank Gore. And it's wild to me that Frank Gore's son is entering the NFL when Frank Gore just retired like 2 years ago, three years ago.
Unbelievable.
Like, he was really close to playing in the same league as his son, which is wild. That just shows how
football. In baseball, the Griffies did it, but baseball's different.
Football, I mean, that's wild. So Frank Gore Jr., he reminds you a lot like his dad, how he runs and everything. I don't know if he's got the shiftiness that his dad did. You know, Frank Gore was a master at hiding and slipping through tackles and gashing through those lanes. I don't like him as much on the 49ers because I don't think he's more of that downhill, works better in a power man blocking system scheme than this 49ers wide zone scheme. That's where I see that. I would love to have him on the team just because he's Frank Gore's son. But I don't know if he's the best fit for the 49ers. Now, there's also Tariq Owens, who's Terrell Owens' son. A similar story there with Brendan Rice. I think he's going to be a receiver that drops a little bit more there. And then the last one is Luke McCaffrey. Now, this is the kid that I think, like you asked, who's out of the family names make the most sense? And to me, Luke McCaffrey makes more sense than anybody else on that's out there for draft prospects as far as, you know, family names. Luke McCaffrey makes more sense. Now, if we look at him as a wide receiver prospect, doesn't have the weight, the body mass of Brendan Rice, but he's actually a little bit faster. His 40-yard dash time. So what you have to understand about Luke McCaffrey is why is he considered where he is in the draft? So his production in college was not really high because he started out as a quarterback, and then he transitioned to be a wide receiver, and he only really played one full season as wide receiver, and he had a decently productive year, but there's a lot of things that he had to learn about being a wide receiver. So, and he was primarily an outside guy, and he reminds me of Cooper Kupp in that Cooper Kupp was an outside guy in college, but, and he, because he has the traits to do that pretty well in college, but that is not his best fit in the NFL. Cooper Kupp is his best fit is not just as an exclusive outside receiver. He's somebody you move all around the field and is good enough outside he can do that, but it also can be really dangerous in the slot. And then you can move him around when teams start trying to account for him just being in the slot. So his 40-yard dash time is actually just a little bit better than Cooper Kupp's was coming out of Washington. And Cooper Kupp, I believe he ran a 4.51. I want to say that's what his 40-yard dash time was around in that. Luke McCaffrey ran a 4.46. So he's got a good enough 40-yard dash time. That's plenty good. What I loved about seeing him at the Senior Bowl, again, seeing some of him in college, was how much was just in the work from the end of the college season to the Senior Bowl, how much his route running had improved, his quickness in his feet. That tells you that is somebody who's been working their tail off on the things that they need to work on. And so his route running to me was the smoothest route runner there at the Senior Bowl. And there's some good receivers there at the Senior Bowl. Really smooth in and out of his breaks, just silky smooth. It just reminded you of Christian McCaffrey in and out of his breaks. He didn't have the biggest burst out of the break. Like, again, if you put Brendan Rice there and Luke McCaffrey there, Brendan Rice was going to separate coming out of the break. But Luke McCaffrey is going to get you more separation during the break. Does that make sense? As far as how that sits, his three cone. Absolutely fantastic. And that, again, lends itself to showing why he was so silky smooth in his in the breaks of his routes. His three cone was in the top 11th percentile of all wide receivers. So, you know, top end three cone, his 10 yard split is elite. Like, it is in the top end of receivers. So that early burst is there. Again, what I've been saying is in and out of those breaks, his ability to do that and separate there. And that fits what the 49ers really need. They need somebody to come in and take that slot role. Juwan Jennings has been there, third and Juwan, but he will not be here past this season. And so you need an answer for that. You need that slot receiver. And, you know, he reminds you of a Puka Nacua. He reminds you of a Cooper Kupp. He has that really, you know, silky smooth route running. Physical guy that's willing to take on contact. He, again, not the biggest frame, but I think that's something that will add. Christian McCaffrey was the same way coming out of college, right? The one thing about Christian McCaffrey was undersized, and people thought he was a small, shifty back. That perception carried over to when we traded for him, right? Everyone thought, I don't know about this guy. He's dealt with some injuries. Can he be a physical runner? Can he be something long term? And then all of a sudden you see him get to the 49ers, you're like, actually, this dude's pretty jacked. You know, he put on a good bit of mass and he got bigger and he runs extremely physical and has been very durable for the 49ers. And I think you're going to see that same sort of trajectory with Luke McCaffrey. I think as he grows into his body, that he's going to fill that frame out a little bit more, and you will get somebody who can do that. Now, another knock on him was some run blocking in college. Again, he was a guy who played quarterback, had never had to block anybody in his life, and suddenly he's getting into college and he has to block some of the better athletes in the country. There's a learning curve there. One thing, again, that I saw at the Senior Bowl was that run blocking was very, very much improved. And he was not shying away from it. He was one of the most tenacious run blockers of the wide receivers that was out there. Watched him pancake a guy to the ground, wouldn't get off of him, almost cause a fight because he was driving this guy into the ground and would not stop. Very George Kittle-like, very Brandon Ayuk-like, something the 49ers love. I loved it what I saw there. He's got high football IQ. He's somebody who understands when to sit down in zones, when to present himself to the quarterback. You could tell the coaches love Luke McCaffrey at the Senior Bowl because they moved him around everywhere, and he probably had more reps on the field than any other wide receiver out there because they could put him outside, they could put him in the slot, they could bring him in close, they could put him anywhere and he would know what to do. So all that to say, I think people know I love me some Luke McCaffrey. I really want to see him with the 49ers. I think if you can get him in the third or fourth round, if you have to reach into the third round, I would do it. Because, it's somebody that, for me, I look at and I go, would I want to see this kid on the Rams? Heck no. Right. Would I want to see him on the Seahawks? No. Do I want to see him with the Eagles? Absolutely not. I don't want that. If I'm that worried about a prospect like that, because I think he would fill a role that there's not as many guys that have skill sets to do. And at the spot you can get him, if you can get him for a third round, you do it. So that's where I'm at with Luke McCaffrey and why I think he's being projected where he is in the draft. I think what he will end up being is a second round talent that will be in this league when he's got enough development in there that you can get for a third round, you take it.
Yeah. I love just with the different routes that we run, the ins and outs and all those, it's kind of textbook for a McCaffrey, and you know, Christian would make sure that he'd get acclimated and everything. And that would be a great, great story. Reminder, by the way, as well, that the best way to boost the chat, as always, is to hit hashtag JD49. Reminder that you also can always email us your questions. If you do, please send a picture, because we will do mailbag when we have questions, and we'll throw them in there at johnnydellsfootballacademy@gmail.com. You can always ask your questions. Remember to share the channel with friends. Go up to people wearing Niners gear. Definitely, if you're out going to a sports bar or things like that, for the draft and you see people in Niners gear, that's a big way that you can help this channel is by grabbing your phone and showing them the channel, showing them some of your favorite videos. A couple questions about the draft that I want to ask you. This Thursday, are you just going to be watching live at home? Do you have stuff going on? You have to tape it. Like, what's your situation? What are some of your memories of watching the draft?
So, some of my memories watching the draft, one, watching the 49ers draft third overall Trey Lance was a little bit disheartening for me. I really wanted Patrick Surtain out of that draft. He was the biggest draft crush I had for years, probably since Nick Bosa, maybe not that many years, but I just meaning like it was Nick Bosa and Patrick Surtain were the two guys that I was most excited about with the potential of being on the 49ers since like 2015 or 2014. Those two guys in those different drafts were there. So I was a huge Patrick Surtain draft crush. Like when the 49ers traded up in the draft, I knew they were going quarterback, and that really bummed me out that we were not going to be getting Patrick Surtain. Now I was glad that we didn't pick Justin Fields. I was really worried about that one. I just did not see him being a long-term starter in the NFL. I didn't, especially not in the Shanahan system.
You're already right. Pittsburgh, like, he's supposed to be the backup.
Right. So like, it was like, there was all this buzz and all, you know, him rolling out left and these bombs down the field. I was like, I just don't see what I need to see for him to be a Shanahan system, high level quarterback. I felt like at that point, who was realistic, because the realistic options there were Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Everybody knew that Trevor Lawrence was going one, Zach Wilson was going two. That everybody knew that. So those were the three options. And for me, it seemed like Mac Jones was the best option of those three. Didn't mean that I sat there and was like, yes, I love Mac Jones. People kind of took that year that I felt that way. I was like, no, I felt like Mac Jones, he could have been, if he was in the Shanahan system, I felt like he could have been the most successful of those guys. I still think that would have been true. Yes, there was a lot of issues there in New England. Not all of those were Mac Jones.
Right. No, I agree.
Now that's not saying that he was going to be top 15 quarterback. I think if you look at those three, that if you plug any of those three guys in a Shanahan system, we know that Trey Lance didn't work out. We can be pretty darn certain that Justin Fields would not have. There's a possibility that Mac Jones could have been at least somewhat successful. Now, it's a good thing that the 49ers didn't get him, because that ended up leading to Brock Purdy being here. So, you know, that's where that's one of my draft memories of being real. Like, it was hard because there were so many 49ers fans who were so excited, because this meant more production from the quarterback position, and there was a big arm there, and you could really push it down and it pushed the ball down the field and all this stuff. And I just didn't see that coming. I was like, I don't think we're suddenly going to be bombs away with Trey Lance. I just didn't foresee it. And I kept telling people that. I said, what you're going to see is you're going to see more quarterback running and then a lot of the same passing offense. That's what they're trying to do. And the problem was that everyone was like, why aren't they bombing the ball down the field? I said, because that's not the Shanahan offense. That is a low percentage pass. He is into high percentage passes. Now, Brock Purdy has brought the high percentage passes and then the ability to hit at a high percentage down the field. That's why it's allowed. But if you're not hitting that at a high percentage and you can't also work the intermediate area of the field, then that's a problem. That's what we ran into with Trey Lance. So, you know, that's some of my draft memories. Now, the other one is watching the Cardinals pick Kyler Murray, because that was a celebration moment for me. The moment they picked him, I was overjoyed, because I knew that meant we were getting Nicholas John Bosa. So
Bosa.
Those are some of my favorite draft memories of recent time, of getting Nicholas John Bosa. But
did we can move Arizona, on now. Did you think Arizona was going to get him then, honestly, at that point?
I wasn't sure. It was one of those, you knew they needed a quarterback, but if you were looking at the best prospect coming out of the draft that year, I mean, Nick Bosa was a better prospect than Kyler Murray. They went quarterback because they needed a quarterback. Sure, now sure. they had bombed on Josh Rosen, two years before that.
He was my guy.
Or the year before UCLA that. So you know that. So that was one that you know there was like a little bit in there of like, could they try and salvage Josh Rosen? They could, and they could go with the better player, or they're going to try and get their franchise quarterback. And they went with their franchise quarterback, and it was, you know, that, like, I was 90% sure they were on Kyler Murray, but that 10% doubt.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, it was like, you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah, so exactly. When it happened, I was like, we got Bosa. So, yeah. So then I did a third mock draft here. And this one, I rejected every trade. I was like, I am not making a trade. We're just going to see if the 49ers run it as it goes. So went through again. Quinion Mitchell was there at 31. Had to pick him. We already talked about that. Round three is there. Kingsley Suamataea. I've already talked about him. He was there. Dominic Pooney. He was there in the fourth round. I went with him. This is where it got a little bit different. Fourth round, I picked Edge Nelson Caesar out of Houston. Now he's somebody, again, I saw him at the Senior Bowl. What I really liked about him there was he had really good balance for a defensive end. And so there was some times he was able to get around the edge. I'm not sure he's going to be an every down guy. I think that, again, that's why he's there at the fourth round, but I think there's some good upside, especially as a pass rusher there in the fourth round. I think that would be a pretty good pick. Then in the fourth round, a guy that I finally was able to draft him. I was trying to get him in the other two drafts, but I kept getting other areas. Was somebody that I really fell in love with at Senior Bowl, and his draft stock, you know, people talk about these risers that have gone from like early second round to, you know, pick number 22. They've risen about 10 spots in projections. Jordan Jefferson has helped out his draft projection so much from the Senior Bowl and the offseason workouts. He was projected at the end of the season at LSU of being a seventh round guy. And now he's looking more like a fourth and fifth round guy, really. And the reason why is because his physical attributes and physical traits are absolutely elite. When I say powerful, that I was watching the defensive lineman drills there, and every time I'd see this kid, I believe he was wearing number 95 at the Senior Bowl, there get up in the drills, he would just grab guys, bench press, and throw them off like they were nothing. And these were big dudes that he was doing this with, and you know, it's not just like, you know, they're doing some drills and he's throwing around a guy who's not really trying. Again, this is in comparison with every other defensive lineman who'd gone before him. Every time I watched him, it was a different level of power. And so the first note I made about him was powerful. And then I made a note times two. And then I made another note times three, because I saw over and over and over again of the guys, like, his power was on display in the team drills. It was on display in front seven on seven work. It was on display. Absolutely powerful guy. He's a little bit undersized, but with his power, that's not as much of an issue. Now his production was not really high there at LSU. Sometimes played undisciplined, but when he went to the combine, it again solidified exactly what you saw on the field. He put up more reps of the bench press than any player at the combine. That's offensive lineman, defensive lineman, any of the position groups. It was 34 reps of 225 on the bench press, more than any other player at the combine. So again, when you see that okay, I saw a guy who looks really powerful on the field, and then he gets into the combine and it shows, yes, he is the most powerful guy in this draft. That makes that's when the combine and the field work start combining, no pun intended, but start to make sense for you. And so that's why his draft stock has risen. He's jumped almost three rounds I mean, he's one of the biggest risers in this draft, if you really think about it. People don't notice it as much because mid-round draft picks. And you don't think about a guy moving from 7 to 4 as this massive leap as somebody going from, you know, pick number 64 to now they're projected at pick number 32. Well, this guy's moved 90 to 100 spots up the draft as far as projection. So really a guy that would be very intriguing for me, a kid that I think could be pretty good there. Jordan Jefferson, a defensive tackle out of LSU, brings what the 49ers need and would want there at defensive tackle, and get him with Chris Kocurek, and I think he could be something. Then picked out of Iowa because the 49ers love their tight ends out of Iowa. Eric All, the do-it-all tight end. Ha, just kidding. But picked him up. Then another guy from Notre Dame there, Adam, in the fifth round, picked cornerback Cam Hart. He projects more as a slot guy, I think. That's where he's going to be, and that kind of makes sense as far as a mid-round pick on a slot kind of guy. I think if they find a slot player, they need to find one of two guys. They need to find either a slot guy or an outside guy and let D'Amador Lenore play one position. That's what they need to do. Now, D'Amador Lenore wants to be an outside guy. He wants to be paid like an outside guy. He doesn't want to be paid like a slot. Slots do not get paid as well. But Cam Hart, I think, makes sense as a slot corner there. Almost projects as a slot slash nickel safety. But I think he has some traits there that can make that. Then in the sixth round, I picked Chow Smith Wade from Washington State. Now, he's the outside guy. I think, again, if you can find either one of those, that would make sense. It kind of reminds you of a Daryl Luter from last year that the 49ers picked. He's got the physical stature to play outside. He's got the speed to play outside. Needs to work on a lot of technique, a lot of fundamentals. Not sure he's got the hips. So that's a question there with Chow Smith Wade. Would definitely be a project there. But again, we're in the sixth round. Then in the sixth round, picked up Laumea again. He just kept ending up with me. I don't know why. I guess I love me some Laumea, but I mean, I never spent a high pick on him. So then in the sixth round, went running back again. Was a guy that had a really good 40 time, running back out of Memphis, Blake Watson. So he's there, makes sense as a Shanahan guy. He's, I think he makes sense with the 49ers because he's a very physical runner. He didn't shy away from contact. That was one of the knocks on him is that he didn't have a lot of wiggle. Like he wasn't going to juke a lot of people out. He more sought out contact. He reminds you kind of a Jordan Mason. And so that's why I ended up picking Blake Watson there. Then at safety, this was more special teams impact guys, Josh Proctor, safety from Ohio State, the Ohio State there, JD Bertrand again at Notre Dame. He kept coming around. If he was there, I was picking him because, in those late rounds, I really liked me some JD Bertrand. In the seventh round, got wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, Bub Means. This is more of a special teams kind of thing. I'm looking at somebody who could be a possible return guy. Kind of reminded you a little bit of Ronnie Bell. He's not going to be a real physical guy, not a great run blocker. Is a decent route runner, is a decent enough route runner, and could be a possible return guy. So to me, it was somebody that you would bring in and compete with Ronnie Bell and see if he can make the team. Then defensive lineman Zion Logue out of Georgia. And the last pick was a safety out of Air Force. The Air Force Academy was Trey Taylor. So that was my last mock draft. What do you guys, and they did meet with Bub. So, you know, there it is. They've met with Bub. It's on there. So you can kind of see there was a lot of thought that I did put into these, and it wasn't just, you know, pick the best player available that was on there that was coming down the pipeline. There was some thought that I tried to put into these. And again, thinking about how the 49ers value different people. And so this was... these were drafts that I put out again as what the 49ers value, not necessarily my top guys everywhere. Because if you notice that draft, I didn't have Luke McCaffrey, and so that one pained me.
Shame on you. Now we're not going to get him. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm very excited.
In my mock draft, we're not getting him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what really goes down regarding trades and things as well. So, are we, you know, it's just day one of the draft. By the time we would want to get together again Friday morning. Is that what you want to do? What are we doing?
Well, so yeah, I forgot to say. So I'm going to be watching the draft this year because my silly self, I scheduled a family vacation. It's the first vacation we've taken in 5 years.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. It's been overdue. It has been far overdue. We have not taken a vacation as a family. And like I said, it was before the pandemic. That's how long ago it was. So we have a family vacation coming up here at the end. We're leaving on Thursday. So now I'm going to be catching what I can of the draft and you know, as much as I can, as long as I can convince my wife that we need to watch the draft while we're on vacation, I will be. You know, definitely going to be watching that first round again. We don't have a second round pick unless there's a trade made. I don't see it happening, but we have the ability here to do a live mock draft. They only take about 5-10 minutes. So we have that. We can do a live so people can see how the sausage is made here on the channel. Is that something you want to do there, Adam? Do you want to throw this in there?
Oh,
thoughts in here
for right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This very second.
I mean, yeah, that's totally cool.
So again, this is NFLDraftBuzz.com, and you can go to they have their draft simulator, and you come in here and you select how many rounds of the draft you want, how much time you want in the rounds to take. And so there is a randomizing factor that the more you put this up there, it doesn't just go off of best player available. It kind of it has a mix of draft buzz rankings plus player need or team needs, and then a little bit of randomization because there's always some curveballs thrown in there. And then they also have you can use the different draft trade charts that are out there, you know, kind of the standard one that most people have been using, the Jimmy Johnson trade charts, which gives specific values for every draft pick. And so when a trade's made, it's about making the numbers work on the on the trade values, you know, what a what is a 26 overall pick, you know, is what value does that have? How many picks does it take to add up to that same value? That's the Jimmy Johnson trade chart. And there's been other ones that have come out, so you can select what trade chart you want to use. You can use their draft rankings, or you can use the consensus rankings. And we're going to do that one because that is kind of using, they've taken all these different draft projections and everything that's come around from a lot of the different outlets and everything, and they're bringing them together, and everybody's different mock drafts. These are thousands of mock drafts that come together, and they start ranking them as a consensus of these are the guys who will tend to go in these areas and where they are. So we'll set this for consensus rankings. I have selected the 49ers as my team, and I'll let the simulator do everything else, and we enter the draft. We are here. So on the clock now with the number one overall pick in the 2024 draft is the Chicago Bears. We'll see what they do. Oh, Drake May? Wow, they went Drake May number one overall.
Wow.
That's fascinating. Out to Talisi Fuaga is off there. JJ McCarthy at number 12. Quinion Mitchell's gone. Fautuna's gone. Or Fautanu. Oh, Terrion Arnold's gone. Wow, I didn't think he was going to go that high. Amarius Mims went. Oh, this is going different. Chop Robinson. Wow, he lasted until 29? Wait a minute. Something went wrong here. It didn't let me pick. Sorry.
We're live.
We are live.
That's awesome.
Okay. I forgot to select it once I did consensus rankings for the 49ers. So we're going to try that again. Now it went Marvin Harrison went number one overall. What? Caleb Williams went number four to the Cardinals. Wow. Cardinals are replacing Kyler Murray according to this mock draft. Dang. JJ McCarthy going to the Jets. That actually makes a lot of sense. Really. You know, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there forever. Wow, Jackson Powers went real high. He was somebody I thought, you know, might there be there at center for the 49ers at the end of the first round. Xavier Worthy went number 23. Dang, that speed. That speed option there. There is Amarius Mims off the board to the Buffalo Bills. Braden Fisk, no! Oh, no. Braden Fisk was just picked by the Ravens. He's another guy that I really liked. He's really, you know, improved his draft stock there. He was somebody who was probably projected at early third, late second, and then really showed out at the Senior Bowl. Big time show out at the Senior Bowl. I fell in love with that kid at the Senior Bowl, and it's looking like a lot of people have. Then he went to the Combine and really showed out there. So, yeah, Braden Fisk going to the Ravens. Now we've got four trade offers. The Cowboys are offering a first next year, a third next year, and a seventh next year. Now, that we're not here to do that. We're not passing on picks this year. We're here to do a mock draft. The Saints are offering next year's first and third, and the Jaguars offering second this year. So move back 17 spots, pick up a second and fourth next year. Would you do that trade, Adam?
That's actually not. That's actually better than the one with Dallas. Who's that with the Jaguars?
With the Jaguars. So they would give us this year's second. So we would move back 17 spots.
Okay.
And then pick up a second next year and a fourth next year. That's intriguing.
Yeah, that's.
And then with the last option, there's the Packers. Oh, this is even better. So maybe they would end up giving us the 41st overall pick. So moving back 10 spots, they give us a third round pick at the end of the third, 88th overall pick, 25th pick in the third round, and fourth next year. Would you do that?
For
right, let's see who's available. Available here. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. To me, right now, Chop Robinson's available. I would pick Chop Robinson in a heartbeat. I know Jajon Newton is there. I really like Newton, defensive lineman from Illinois, but the 49ers need an edge. I mean, they need a top edge. Again, I don't think Chop Robinson would actually be there for the 49ers, but for me, I'm picking Chop Robinson. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I... trading on draft day is just such a, like, the draft already is like a bit of a crapshoot already, and then you're going to throw trade saying, well, we'll give you a third for next year. I mean, talk about even more of a crapshoot. Like,
yeah, but understand, these things happen all the time in the draft.
No, I know, like,
100%. Teams are constantly getting calls about pop, you know, positions there, and it's always waiting against who is also available. Now Tyler Guyton's available there. The 49ers need tackle. They need defensive end. Tyler Guyton, I like him. I don't love him as... So Tyler Guyton, for those who are unfamiliar with Tyler Guyton, he is very, very tall. He's like 6'7" as a tackle there from Oklahoma. Now, he's got a really good anchor as a pass blocker. He struggles with pad level because he's so tall in run blocking. He's not the fastest guy. He lumbers a little bit like you would expect from a 6'7" offensive tackle. I think if you were looking at who's going to be the better pro at their position, now I know we have needs for tackle. We have talked about needs for tackle. I'm going Chop Robinson. What do you think there, Adam? If you're getting Guyton over Chop Robinson, you are drafting for need only, not best player available. To me, Chop Robinson meets both. Like,
I'm okay with need. I'm okay with need, honestly.
Yeah, I went with Chop Robinson because that fits need as well. Like, both are needs, and right. So, you know, they're. I think I think it just makes more sense because I think he's going to be less of a reach. And really, it wouldn't even be a reach there at 31. To me, that's getting a really good steal just because of the I mean, his athletic ability is off the charts. Like you were talking about an absolute monster off the edge as far as what he brings physically to the defensive end spot. I think that answers a question that that we've had for a long time there at defensive end, and it just makes sense. So we're sitting here we're sitting here in this at the end of the second round. Who are we getting here? I do like Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers. He's there. There's some other guys here. You got Mike Sainer still from Michigan. I like Melton. I think Melton could be at a Rutgers. I think he could be a good corner. And we can check out one thing that I like about this again. You can click on the profile and it'll show you everything about him. You know, he is a little bit undersized. He's 5'11", 187. And then again, why I like this site is they have all the stuff that's here. They have his 40-yard time. He was at the Senior Bowl, and they've got his measurables of everything that's here and where he ranks and everything. They've got his overall ratings as far as what they've given for tackling, run defense, coverage, zone, and then man. Then where his draft projection is, where his overall ranking is, his position ranking. They're telling you how many college games he's played, how many college snaps he's played, who has ranked him as what, ESPN, 24/7 Sports, Rivals.com. And then they give you a bio. They give you a scouting report on his strengths, his weaknesses, a summary. Wow. And then, you know, obviously the chart here. So it's a really good site. If you're looking for a lot of info on the draft, it really helps you. So I'm going to pick up Max Melton there in at the end of the second round. So
49ers faithful forever is happy.
He's happy. Yeah, I know he was a Melton guy too. He's right. He's a clean prospect. That there's not a lot of questions there. Does he have the full upside that maybe some other guys do? I don't think so, but I think he's, wow, Spencer Rattler went in the third round here. Quarterback really helped his stock out at the Senior Bowl. You know, there was some other guys that had bigger names that were there at the Senior Bowl. Rattler really helped us. He reminded me so much. Pooney went. He reminded me so much of Brock Purdy with the way he played. So we're on the clock. Oh, this is hard because we haven't addressed tackle. And this is where the rub of players that you know, of best player available and needs come in. Because so Andrew Phillips from Kentucky, a kid I really like. Why? He's a little undersized, but what I loved about Andrew Phillips is that he has incredible makeup speed. He would get beat a couple times. I remember there was one time, it was one-on-ones, receiver went to run a fade on him, gave a little juke on a slant, he completely bit, and the quarterback lobbed it out there. He was probably a good 7 yards behind the receiver, caught up and broke up the pass. Incredible makeup speed. Just out of bounds makeup speed. He's more of that slot guy. But then down here, you got Roger Rosengarten at offensive tackle to Washington. Now, everybody knows about Fautanu. The 49ers were at the Washington Pro Day. Their offensive line coach, he was there at the Washington Pro Day. I think they were looking at Rosengarten. That's what I think. I don't think they were looking at Fautanu. I think they were looking at Rosengarten. That's what I think. So given that, I'm going to pick Rosengarten.
Address the tackle issue.
Again, if we look at him and say, okay, why is he there in the third round? Why is he not higher? Well, there's some issues there. Arm length isn't elite. Bench press isn't elite. He's got He's a better pass blocker than he's run blocker. You know, he's seen as good pass blocker, run blocker. But, you know, he's getting ranked. 24/7 Sports has him ranked real high. Rivals.com has him ranked real high. ESPN, who is notorious for not getting draft things right, has him ranked not as high. So maybe it's not a bad choice. But I think Rosengarten, he fits what the 49ers do. Again, he reminds you of a better Colton McKivitz. So I think that's where the pick is going to be. So now we're here, back on the clock in the beginning of the fourth round. Who we got some different guys out here as available. Got some edge players. We've already addressed edge. We've got some corners. We've already addressed corner. We got some tackles. We've already addressed tackle. So who are we going to get here in the fourth round? And Nehemiah Pritchett's there again. He was a guy I picked before. Liked him. Luke McCaffrey sitting there. Is it too early? Is pick
fourth pick round
124 in the fourth round? I'm getting Luke McCaffrey. There it is. Yeah,
that's not too early.
So, yeah.
If you don't want Philly, oh, yeah. Seattle,
big,
Arizona.
Big shout out to Steph Sanchez. Okay, if you're not following her for draft stuff, Steph is on it. She's got a big draft chart, like, and it, well, it's like a folder file of stuff on the draft. She puts in so much work on the draft and following prospects. You need to check out Steph Sanchez. I'm going to try and get her on the show at the end of the week. If I can, if I have time this week. I probably don't have time. I want to bring her on the show. We're going to bring her on after the draft. That's for sure.
You're gone.
I had to think about that for a second. I was like, damn it, I'm out. But so well, we are. This is where,
after the draft too, we can talk to her.
So this is where it gets interesting. The 49ers have the 132nd pick and the 135th pick. So we've got two guys back to back here. It becomes, who do you think the Bills and the Jets would pick ahead of you? So, and what they want.
Dawn says nope.
Yeah, she's like, nope, we are not doing a show while we are on vacation. We are on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, fair. So there's some guys I like here. There's Eric Hall, the tight end. There now a couple of my guys that I liked earlier are not there. It looks like. So offensive line, let's look at some of the guys I had. They're not there. You know, Goncalves has been a guy that here's a guy. It's somebody that I think has some upside there at tackle that's interesting. And we picked Rosengarten. Do you bring another tackle in? Goncalves has been, he's an interesting prospect to me. So, you know, isn't the fastest guy to get out and running, especially in space. He kind of profiles similar to Rosengarten. Not as good of a pass blocker, but in the sense that he's a little bit better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. Or do you go to another position? You know, do we go running back? Because the 49ers love their running backs. So you do that. Do you try and address backup quarterback? Do you dress defensive backs? This is tough, Adam.
Yeah.
You know who I want to see who's there still available? Well, there's some linemen that I want to see, and it looks like one of them already went. Kingsley Aguikun, who is a center. I really liked him. It looks like he already went somewhere up here. McKinley Jackson went. He is somebody that I really like as a defensive lineman prospect. So, you know, he's gone. What I want to see is Jordan Jefferson's there.
Oh, there you go.
Might be seen as a little bit of a reach. But I'm going to Jordan Jefferson again. I talked about him, why I like him. Well, I think he makes sense, and he would make sense on that Jets defensive line. So we are snagging him before the Jets can or the Bills. And so so there we get Jordan Jefferson. We get a defensive tackle who can play with some upside. you know, I don't know much about Renardo Green. I haven't looked into safeties much this draft cycle because, well, it's not as big of a need. The 49ers ostensibly have their two safeties. So I don't know much about this kid, Green, but his rankings are pretty good. People are thinking high of him. So you know what? We're going to address the backup safety position and get Green there. In the fifth round, who's supposedly supposed to be a much higher pick there. So if you know something about Green there in the chat, let me know, because I have not looked into to safeties as much. I'm kind of like the 49ers with quarterbacks in 2017. Didn't even look at Patrick Mahomes because we were going to get Kirk Cousins. So I have not even looked at it, hardly any of these safeties. They're guys that I just do not know much about. Again, didn't want to spend my time doing that as much. So rolling here through, we've got a number of picks left in the sixth. And we got 1, 2, 3, 6th round picks left and a 7th round pick. And again, these start becoming depth pieces, special teams guys, guys that you kind of take a flyer on, that you're looking at, you know, where is that going to be a potential fill of a position for the 49ers? And you know, do the 49ers, if they fall in love with a guy? We got a trade offer from the Kansas City Chiefs. They're offering their offensive tackle, Juan Algo, and a 6th round next year and a 7th round next year. The Steelers are offering, just to move back 2 spots and give us a 7th next year. I'm taking that trade.
Well, yeah, that's.
I'm taking that trade. We're moving back 2 spots. They're trying to jump somebody. For a kid, we are on the clock. We are picking Eric All again, tight end out of Iowa, because the 49ers love their tight ends out of Iowa. So yeah, we're getting Eric All, the do it all tight end. I wouldn't hate us drafting Eric All. I think, you know, he could be very much a Charlie Warner. I really think you can get that kind of a player out of him. Will he be? I don't know.
Hey, Kittle, you know, especially was with not. The, Kittle coming out.
Kittle was a 5th round pick. I mean,
who knows, man? He's out of Iowa.
And we don't know what's going to be happening with Cam Law too. So, you know, again, I loved him coming out of the draft last year.
Yeah,
that was my guy. He hasn't really worked out. So, should be. I mean, he had meniscus surgery, so we'll you know, he should be ready to go for training camp. We're on the clock. I'm going linebacker C. He's there. You know who I'm looking for. And he already got drafted. I missed him. Missed on JD Bertrand. He's not there. We need a backup quarterback. I'm grabbing Sam Hartman again. I'm loving me some Hartman as our backup quarterback out of this draft. We got another trade offer. The Bills are offering us to move back about 30 spots and pick up a 7th next year. Nah, bump that trade. I ain't taking that, Bills. Who do you think? I ain't balky over here. Then the Steelers just trying to offer their 7th next year. Nope, that ain't happening. Dolphins, nope, that ain't happening. I'm rejecting all those trades. We ain't pulling that. We're on the clock. We're gonna pick somebody. We're gonna look for we need to get that running back. We're picking Watson. He's there. I'm getting him.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense. 49ers need to add somebody to that running back room. They always have to. So draft's rolling. This is so much faster than the real draft.
No kidding.
The real draft takes days.
Even fantasy football sometimes takes forever.
Forever. And you can set this to go as fast as you want. If you want to be able to see it in time, the picks on the side, I want to see some of these there. Trajan Jeffco. I think that's somebody with some upside. It's interesting to see him go where he did. There goes Bub Means to the Panthers. I think that's something that's an interesting pull there. But Jeffco, I think, is somebody that has some upside. We'll see what ends up happening with his career. He may be a guy that never makes it in on a team at a training camp. So I don't know.
Again here.
Cornerback Miles Harden. I don't know much about him. Small school kid, South Dakota. Oh, what's his deal there? All right. He's got decent 40-yard time. He was at the Shrine Bowl, so he's an outside corner guy. Played a lot of football. Let's pick him.
Yeah. At this point,
seen anybody else there that I'm like, we gotta get this kid.
They might not even make the roster at this point.
Yeah. So that will wrap up the 49ers as far as their draft. And what's fun about these two is you can save your draft title. So you can see the ones that I've saved before through the site. Again, I don't have an affiliation with them. I'm just plugging their stuff because I think it's a really good resource. So I'm going to do the live draft as far as the name for this one. And it is done by Johnny Dellens. And you can post it to their wall. And I'm going to save this draft. So there. I have my four different mock drafts that I've done. We've got different picks. You know, yeah. I would be okay with any of these three guys being our first round pick. We got Amarius Mims, we got Quinion Mitchell and Chop Robinson. You know, I would be real happy with any of those guys as being on the 49ers next year. I think any of those three guys make the 49ers better than they were this year. So that wraps up our mock draft episode. People have been asking us about mock drafts. Let us know what kind of grade do you give that last mock draft? Would you give it an A? And let's look at it one more time as a quick recap. We got Chop Robinson in the first round, Max Melton at the end of the second. We got Roger Rosengarten there in the third, Luke McCaffrey in the fourth, Jordan Jefferson in the fourth, Renardo Green in the fourth, Eric All in the sixth, Sam Hartman in the sixth, Blake Watson in the sixth, and Miles Harden in the seventh. Let us know how you grade that draft in the chat there. If you're watching it later, give us a grade in there and let us know what you think. What do you think that we did as far as would you trust us with the keys to the 49ers franchise? Are you going to be calling down to 49 to Bartolo 8 tomorrow or even this afternoon and saying, get these guys in your draft room now? Probably not. But based upon that mock draft?
Maybe that one, not the one where we just got we got Frank Gore and and all
those. Why not?
I mean, yeah. That would be super fun, and there'd be a lot of jerseys being sold. It is a business, maybe on that.
Everybody would be like, I can reuse my jersey.
Yeah, yeah. right. That's awesome. So, yes, this was very fun. We're very excited. The draft is this Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock in Niner country, if you will. So, last question. So about your vacation, when are you back?
Monday morning. Well, Sunday afternoon. Okay. So I originally was going to go do something else on that Saturday. I was trying to get some men to go with me on a trip. There's one of the best armor and cavalry museums in the world. The best in the United States, without a doubt, is open. They're only open 5 weekends a year. They're not open any other time because they are actually a military training facility, teaching and training facility. And I was going to go there because it's only 4 hours away from me. And so we planned a trip out there to visit that because they're open this weekend. And I didn't have any battle buddies with me, so that's not happening. But the family and I we're just going to hang out together on that. Now I wasn't going to be like the whole trip. I was going out with my family for vacation. Sure. But we're coming back that Sunday afternoon, and we'll be back in town. So we will be live back again Monday.
Okay.
With a full draft recap. Yes. And reaction. Exciting. And seeing how it is. There's going to be cheers of jubilation among some 49ers fans over some picks. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth for some others. That is just what the NFL draft always becomes and how people react. I'm not going to grade the 49ers draft. I'm just going to say I'm not going to, because as we went down memory lane of seeing the hits and the misses, that some of those misses were given a grade, a phenomenal grade as a draft pick coming out. Like, they were given a really good grade. Like, this is a no-brainer pick for the 49ers, and they absolutely bombed. They they were terrible. I remember the AJ Jenkins pick was given really high draft grades by some people because they were like, this gives the 49ers that outside threat that they have needed, that top receiver that they have, that they needed, that they tried to fill with Randy Moss the year before, and it didn't work out as well. He was still productive, but it wasn't what they were expecting, and they have now pushed themselves over the top with this AJ Jenkins pick. That's what some people were saying, and it was one of the worst picks of all time for the 49ers. So there's some picks that the draft grades right after the draft. You don't know. They didn't know that third round pick out of Notre Dame was going to be who he was. And won 4 Super Bowls for him. So, it's always something. We'll let it know. We may go back now and grade the 2022 draft, which was, I think by this point, we have a good idea of what they got out of that draft. So we may do that at the end of the year or end of the week next week. Give a recap on the draft this year and then grade the 2022 draft. Because I think that's where you can really start grading drafts, is about 2 to 3 years out after that draft. Yeah. So we can look at that one again and see where the 49ers are.
Very cool. So again, remember, be sure to share the channel with people you're seeing wearing Niner gear when you're watching the draft, especially if you're out and about. Be sure to share the channel, grab your phone, and tell them to turn the notification bell on so they get notified. Make sure yours is on so that you can catch us when we are live. And so we are very excited. Happy draft week, everybody. And in the meantime and in between time, stay blah 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 and blah 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 blabbersons, right? No, we want you to stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, go Niners.